Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
You are Locked On Bulls, your daily podcast on the Chicago Bulls. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Welcome to another episode of Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, TuneIn, Google Play, anywhere you can find podcasts. Make sure you leave us a five-star review. You can email us at lockedonbulls@gmail.com with any basketball questions or advertising inquiries. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls. Like us on Facebook at Locked On Bulls. Make sure you check out the other podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Sean Hyken of The Athletic. With me, as always, Cody Westerlund of 670 The Score. And Cody, Jimmy Butler has been playing kind of well lately.
He is putting up big numbers, 37 points, 8 rebounds, 9 assists in a 106-95
win. 3 steals and only 2 turnovers.
Against the Wizards. You're absolutely correct on that point, too. Becoming only the third player in Bulls franchise history to put up a 37, 8, and 9 line, along with
the crying meme guy, I'm assuming.
Correct. Known as Michael Jordan, and of course Scottie Pippen as well. So that's elite company. Jimmy Butler joined, and I mean, he largely single-handedly willed the Bulls to this win, because they started out lackadaisical against the Wizards, at least in regards to playing defense and making shots. I didn't think they were getting awful shots early, but they weren't hitting any of them. And then Jimmy kind of took over, 14 of 14 from the free throw line. And I've mentioned this before. He has an elite offensive skill, and that's getting fouled, and he's a really good free throw shooter too. And when he puts his mind to it, he takes control by being stronger, smarter, and better than a lot of people on the basketball court like he was in this game.
Yeah, and this is exactly what, when you have a guy who's like, you're supposed to be your franchise player and just like your number one option, this is like exactly the kind of stuff he's supposed to be doing. And you know, after the game, Dwayne Wade kind of compared it to what DeMar DeRozan is doing in Toronto. He's been putting up some crazy numbers, too, and really just carrying the Raptors. You know, he just signed that five-year deal this summer, and he is having the best year of his career so far. And Jimmy Butler, I think you can say he's even made a leap from where he was the last couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, he's averaging 24.3 points per game now, which is an uptick of about 3.5 points from last year, even though they added Dwayne Wade. I know they lost Derrick Rose, too, so lost some scoring there. But, like, that hasn't affected Jimmy. He's still done him, still taking that next step. And Dwayne Wade's really impressed, too, because he's pointing out that Jimmy can be this great every night. And against Miami the other night, he went a little lighter offensively early, not asserting himself quite as much. He did say he wanted to conserve some energy on the second night of a back-to-back. And then you saw him take over down the stretch. So that's reflective of how smart Jimmy is, too, as a basketball player. You know, we don't see him, like, weave these passes between 10 people. It seems like Steve Nash used to do 9 people, whatever, everyone on the floor, you know.
Right.
But Jimmy is a very smart basketball player in picking his spots and knowing what to do and taking good shots. He really does that a lot. And he's shooting 43%, too, on threes this year, but isn't shooting a ton of them, per se, because he's being smart. He knows getting to the hoop is what he does. And, I mean, Dwayne Wade had high praise for him tonight.
Right, and he goes hard, which, I mean, there's a difference between going hard and going recklessly,
yeah.
which, you know, this is actually something that Derrick Rose used to do back, you know, before he had the knee injuries, and that might be kind of why he had the knee injuries. At some point, that was just going to happen, because he was just driving all the time and landing hard all the time. Jimmy has that gear, but he also knows when to scale it back, and he doesn't have that Russell Westbrook gene of just having to just be on 100
yeah.
all the time. He can do it, but I think, you know, he is able to just sort of scale it back when he has to.
Yeah, and D-Wade said Jimmy's taking the next step to stardom. He said he's only scratching the surface. He joked that's what you do when you're 27 years old. You
he
put
also,
up nights like this.
He also joked that I guess Jimmy was wearing his tights. And
yes.
That's why he was so good. And he was like, hey, Jimmy, I need your tights back.
Is that just like D-Wade's like second pair of tights? Or does he have a line of tights like he does wine and watches and pocket squares and all of that? Like, we got to get to the bottom of that, maybe.
Is there anything that Dwayne Wade doesn't have a line of?
Off the top of my head, no. It would take a long time to name everything that he does. Shorter time to name what he doesn't invest in there. But you know, I mean, it's working right now for the Bulls. 6-4, they got a win they needed. I thought it was interesting. D Wade also pointed out. He said Jimmy Butler watches nearly as much film as the coaches do. He often watches it soon after the games. Basically, if they hop a flight or something, he's watching film. And he credited him, too, for Jimmy picking D-Wade's brain on how to get off shots at different spots on the floor when you're contorted in different ways with the defender leaning this way or that way. Like, that's what Jimmy is picking D-Wade's brain on. And, I mean, D-Wade's a terrific person to have as a mentor in that regard because he's been so crafty, so explosive, so smart through the years in getting his own shots when he hasn't been a high efficient or prevalent three-point shooter himself. And if you think about it from those terms, Jimmy and D-Wade are kind of similar basketball players in that regard, which you don't realize at first, but the more you kind of look at how they get their points sometimes. You remember what was the 06 finals where D-Wade crashed in the lane countless times to win the Heat a title? Like, Jimmy is going to be top five in the NBA again in free throws attempted per game probably this year, especially at this rate. 14 is a ton in a game. And I think that maturity there is from a physical standpoint. We've seen him work so hard in years past. His off-season workouts are kind of renowned. But doesn't it feel like his mental side of the game is catching up to almost the work he puts in physically too?
Yeah, I don't know how much of that is Dwayne Wade's presence and how much of that is just other stuff. By the way, just to point this out about his free throw drawing, he's averaging, this is not counting this, I'm on Basketball Reference right now, this is not taking this game into account, and that's going to spike because he shot 14 free throws tonight, but until this game, in their first 9 games of the season, he's averaging 8.8 free throw attempt per game, 7.1 per game in each of the last 2 years, and that was, so far he was playing, and that was with playing more minutes. His per 36 totals are off the charts. He's averaging 9.4 free throws per 36 minutes this season, 6.9 last year, 6.6 the year before. So even, and this is like, I'm using these last, those last two seasons because those were the 2 years where he really made the leap and became like an all-star and a first option. So his contact drawing has just taken a huge leap from even where it was the last couple of years.
That's the most efficient way for the Bulls to get points. That's the best thing they can do. And I found it funny, too. I couldn't help but put this in the context of earlier Saturday after shoot-around, Jimmy Butler said, point blank, I don't believe in statistics. And it made me laugh because it was Jimmy kind of being lighthearted in an open-ended conversation when he talked about several things. And he said it in the context, I think there's two ways he says that, because he wants to be known as the guy who's a winner. You know what I mean?
Right.
And he doesn't want to be known as the guy who puts up big stats for the Bulls, even though I think he secretly does like it. It's almost a coping mechanism to point out the other way. But he also truly believes, because I think of where he came from when he started in the NBA, all the dirty work he did, the grunt work, chasing guys around. Like, look, Jimmy Butler made winning basketball plays for 2 years defensively and just getting garbage points, basically, for the Bulls. And his point is, you can affect a game even when you're not putting up big stats. And he said that comment, I don't believe in statistics, in the context of judging a player by winning plays. And I know that was one and the same tonight. But like, the Bulls needed him to show leadership and step up, because like we mentioned, the team was kind of lackadaisical early. And like, he did that. So I think that too is a maturation process for him. Now, can he keep it going? No one expects a 37-8 and 9 line every night, but he can be great every night according to what Dwayne Wade said, you know?
Right, so let's talk about just this game in general. This was, like you said earlier, this was kind of a game the Bulls needed to win. The Wizards aren't very good. They were without their two best players, John Wall and Bradley Beal, tonight. John Wall just generally isn't playing back-to-backs because he had the
off-season
knee surgery, and he played against Cleveland last night, and then Bradley Beal has a hamstring strain. They started Sheldon McClellan at shooting guard, who I literally, and I'm a pretty big NBA fan. I follow a lot of stuff. I watch a lot of League Pass. I've literally never heard of this dude.
I knew of Sheldon McClellan. See, I didn't know Tomas Satoransky.
So that was somebody I've heard about for
I didn't
a while.
Know
the Wizards, the Wizards have had his rights for a few years. They signed him over the summer. He's a guy that a lot of people who know about international prospects have said is good. I thought he looked okay tonight, actually.
So Well, we don't need to talk too much about Tomas, but
no.
Someone who did look okay on the Bulls and better than okay was Niko Mirotić,
yeah.
Who had been struggling. Fred Hoiberg admitted and acknowledged that he saw a lot of stress in Niko kind of leading into that Thursday night win in Miami, talked to him for a little bit before the game, basically told him to have fun. I know that's not breaking news, that's not like some genius coaching ploy, but he wanted Niko, and we've talked about this before, to really not be so hard on himself, basically, and just play the game. Niko had, I think, 17 points, 11 rebounds in this one. Also interesting, he was 6-7 from the field, 3-4 from three-point range, so he got that shooting stroke down. But he hit a big shot in the fourth quarter, and usually, at least in this occasion, Hoiberg had planned on having Taj Gibson go back in for Niko. And Taj told Fred on the bench, hey, just leave Niko in. He's playing well. Like, don't change anything.
And that's got to be so huge for his confidence. In fact, part of me wonders if that really happened or if that's a story that they're just kind of planting to boost Nico's confidence.
No, I mean, Fred said it, and then it's not like he was, like, pushed to say it. Like, he said it, and then Taj confirmed it. Like, I don't know how many more people we need to confirm it with. We're going to believe it.
We need to make this kind of like the investigation, just like what did Pat Riley's email to Dwayne Wade say, which, by the way, Dwayne shut that down today.
That will be saved for Pat Riley's memoir or some book that maybe, I don't know, somebody in Miami someday writes about Dwayne Wade. He felt like the email had been written about enough, even though we didn't get a conclusion to it. We don't know what was in that draft that finally got sent out by Riley, but D-Wade, just a no comment on that. But yeah, I mean, big night for Niko, big night for his confidence. I mean, honestly, that's Taj being Taj. You know,
yeah.
Like, again,
he has always been, his entire career, he's been the most selfless, team first, just do what you ask him to do, no ego, doesn't need plays drawn up. It's just every single thing that, like, he's, and I've said this before, he is like every single team in the league, you could put Taj Gibson on them and they would on that team and they would be better with him than without him.
Like, he wants to be out there, and this should be pointed out. It's a contract year,
yeah,
for Taj. You know? Like, this is a thing. He needs points and rebounds that helps him get more money next time around, but again, he's so selfless, as you said. So that was good for him. Niko, they need him on this road trip. They're maybe going to need more production from him than they even expected, because we should point out Doug McDermott,
yeah,
is in the concussion protocol, took a hard fall to the floor in the fourth quarter, going up for a rim-rocking dunk. I mean, he elevated from the right side of the court there, and he was met at the top of his jump by Markieff Morris, who wasn't a dirty basketball play, was assessed a flagrant one foul. It was a hard foul again. The Bulls, Taj didn't think it was dirty. Doug McDermott wasn't available for comment, probably because he was getting checked on by doctors. Fred Hoiberg, not sure if he'll go on the West Coast road trip, at least at the start of it. This is the second time McDermott's been in concussion protocol this year, missed one game.
He missed the Boston. He missed the game in Boston. He took a couple of hard hits in Brooklyn a couple weeks ago, and then he missed the game in Boston,
and
he was cleared to play in the Knicks game.
It's worth pointing out, Taj Gibson was very worried about him, said when he got to him on the floor, he wasn't there. Those were Taj's words. He wasn't there, hinting at Doug obviously seeing stars,
uh-huh,
and his head not being in the right spot. So it doesn't feel like, to me, he's going to be playing Tuesday.
Right, because they're going to be in Portland on Tuesday, the first game of the six-game circus trip. I would imagine, if I had to guess, considering, you know, how bad it seemed, he might not even make the trip with the team, because when you have a concussion, you're not supposed to be on planes for a while. So maybe if he gets cleared from the protocol at some point, he'll join the team on the rest of the road trip. Like, maybe he'll fly out to LA and meet them there or something like that. But I would guess that they'll be without him before that. So, you know, they will need more production out of Mirotić, like you said, and Denzel Valentine, who hasn't played a whole lot. He really only has played in one game this year, not in garbage time, which was the Celtics game after MCW got hurt.
Yeah.
And so they're going to probably need to maybe see what they get out of him. And, you know, this six-game road trip is not the ideal time to lose a guy like McDermott, who's somebody they need a lot of production out of. But, you know, we'll find out what their depth is, because he's going to get in there. Paul Zipser might even get in there. Who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe R.J. Hunter will get in. R.J. Hunter has yet to play for the Bulls. He played a couple of games for the Windy City Bulls, but
I don't know what you expect much out of R.J.
By the way, shout out to Gus T. Bull, the Windy City Bulls mascot.
They do. The Windy City Bulls have a mascot named Gus T. It's so good.
It's excellent. It's like Benny's cousin or something. So.
And he was at the United Center.
So shout out to Gus Tebow. We're very excited about his addition. I haven't asked Robin Lopez about Gus T or what his opinion about that is.
Robin Lopez is a big mascot guy. Likes giving him hell, basically.
He's a big mascot guy, but he's also a big mascot terrorizer.
Yes.
A couple of other notes from this game. It was 80s night, so Bismarck he performed Just a Friend, which was awesome. It was a halftime performance. And they also had a Say Anything cam where they had a boombox and they would show fans like holding up the boombox and they played the Peter Gabriel song. I enjoyed that.
You enjoyed that. We're also fortunate that Jerry Reinsdorf didn't have a $1 million lawsuit coming his way. Because our press table, Sean and I were sitting right next to each other. The leg completely gave out.
Oh, my God.
I think it was third quarter.
It was
honestly scary. The press table is a folding table. I mean, a strong, sturdy one. But it gave out, and the stat monitor, which is a little tiny, like, 12, 13-inch TV that is very hard, fell, like, 15 feet to the tunnel floor onto the concrete.
If that had hit somebody, it would have hurt somebody.
Hit anyone. So God bless. Thank God no one was standing down there, because I don't know what happened, but like, yeah, it wasn't because the United Center was shaking too much.
We should talk about, well, though I think this table was just sort of like the leg was bent in a weird way or something, but it was
the lock.
It was an interesting, I mean, it could have been a lot worse, like some coffee spilled that didn't get it on anybody's computer or any of these electronics. Those stat monitors are like indestructible, because that thing fell 15 feet, hit a concrete
We need to figure out what brand that is.
I don't know, but then like we go, like they bring it back up and plug it in, and like it actually still works.
Yeah.
Like, it was still functional. I thought it was just going to be completely shattered.
Yeah, you got, you know, tweets of people throwing a remote at a TV and breaking their TV, like this thing was dropped
15
feet.
Probably a lot more expensive TVs than this monitor.
Yeah, so glad that was averted. Did want to get back to the fact that Fred had been kind of leaning on a 9-man rotation, and even, I think, recent game, going kind of 7 people in the second half for the most part.
Right.
And this will be interesting with Doug likely out a game or two or maybe more with this concussion protocol as he works through that. He went 10 deep in this game. Bobby Portis and Jaron Grant, the last two there, only played 6 minutes, though. And he relied heavily on Isaiah Cannon for 2 reasons. 3 reasons. Cannon's playing well. Rajon Rondo was playing poorly. And Rajon Rondo had foul trouble. And Cannon closed this game.
We were sitting next to each other on press row. They were down pretty big in the middle of the first quarter. I said to you, I guarantee you they're going to go on a run as soon as they take Rondo out.
They went on a 13-0 run.
They went on a 13-0 run as soon as they pulled Rondo. He has not been good.
He was 0-6 in this game, did have 5 assists, 7 rebounds. So like when he's out there, he's always the center of the action, the ball in his hands, doing things. But, I mean, they're sagging off of him. He's airballing shots from
feet away. He's airballing layups. I think he had 2 airballed layups.
He had at least one jumper I remember that was way too early in the shot clock, where it's like they're going to lag or sag off you, and you can do the same thing with 4 seconds on the shot clock, you know?
The offense has been functioning better with Isaiah Cannon out there than with him, and that's not what you want.
And the thing about Cannon, too, is he tries hard on defense. He's not great at defense. And you can shoot over him pretty much any time you want, which is a problem for any team with a guard of decent size who's good at scoring and wants to be assertive. So I don't know how the Bulls are going to kind of navigate that problem if he has to play bigger minutes. But, I mean, he played nearly 27 minutes. He could see a lot of minutes on this West Coast trip if Rondo keeps struggling offensively. Because, like you said, the numbers bearing out. The thing is, too, you can just put the ball in Jimmy's hands.
We're going to see Denzel get some looks, too, probably, if Rondo keeps struggling at some of that backup one.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the fact that they have Jimmy Butler, not only Jimmy Butler, but Dwayne Wade also can bring the ball up if he has to and make plays.
Very true. So that's going to be, when you look big picture at this stuff, the Bulls are 6-10. Again, really tough West Coast road trip coming up.
And 6-4. They're not 6-10. They're
6-4. Sorry. 6 wins in 10 games. Thank you. That's why I would keep you around here, keep me in line. But 6-4 so far. But you look like on the horizon is this Rondo issue. And I'm not talking about a personality problem.
No, no, no.
I'm talking about a basketball
problem. They're all getting
problem.
Along fine. He's just been awful on the court.
Yeah, like they're going to have to do something if he keeps playing like this offensively. And
but the thing is, it might become an off-the-court thing if they decide, you know, once they get MCW back to bench him or something, because that's just, like, politically not really a thing you can do.
Yeah, I don't think of benching something. I just think a drastic cut in minutes and not going with him in crunch time.
But then
probably,
is he
going
to be happy about that? Maybe that he starts complaining, and it could get bad if he doesn't start playing better. But this is going to be an interesting road trip, and I think this road trip is going to tell us a lot about the Bulls, because their next three games, they have it's a six game trip. It's technically only five games on the West Coast. They play Philly late in the month. You can kind of throw that one out. But the first three games on this trip are against the Blazers in Portland, the Jazz in Utah, and the Clippers in LA. And those are three good playoff teams in the West. That's maybe three losses right there.
And the Bulls are traditionally bad in Portland. Mm-hmm. If I remember off the top of my head, we know obviously the Derrick Rose second knee injury occurred there.
And the Clippers have been playing as well as anybody in the league has right now.
Clippers are really good at basketball. I mean, there's continuity there. There are several
All-Stars,
two of the top 10 players in the league. Like, the Clippers' problem isn't playing well in the regular season. It's figuring out how to get the job done in the playoffs usually. And they've been magnificent. So, tall task ahead for the Bulls. A win tonight, they really needed.
And see, this is another thing that you have to keep giving them credit for. They're taking care of the games they're supposed to win. They beat, like, if you look at their four losses.
Yeah, we were.
The only really bad one was against the Knicks. The Hawks are better than them.
Yeah.
The
Celtics are better in Boston.
And they were in that game. And then the Pacers game was on a back-to-back.
Yeah, and you pointed out the Knicks game is a bad loss. I wouldn't even probably use the term bad. I think it's a game they should have won. And I don't think the Knicks, by any means, are better than the Bulls. But the Knicks played well that night. The Knicks have talent. It's a really emotionally charged night.
Right, because that was the road
to Noah. I wouldn't go. I mean, I completely understand the context you use it there. But not trying to make excuses for losing the Knicks.
But they took care of the Magic. They took care of the Nets. They took care of the Pacers in that first home game. They took care of the Wizards. I mean, it took them a while to pull away, but they took care of the Wizards tonight when they should have beaten the Wizards at home pretty easily, and they ended up doing that. So, you know, as much as I have questions about, you know, how good this team is, I still think they're a lower-end playoff team, like maybe a 7 or 8 seed at best. But you have to give them credit for handling the games they should handle. That's what good teams do.
Yep, and they'll need Jimmy Butler to keep that play up as they go west. And we will keep you updated as much as we can. Sean is heading out. We'll be in Portland and the two LA games.
Yeah.
And we'll have as many podcasts as we can. Sometimes it might be special guests.
It'll be guests.
John Doe.
There will be
making
guests.
An appearance.
There will be guests. I don't know how many are going to top the Casey Johnson episode that we had after the Miami one, which you
Very
guys should go
true.
Check out. That's still timely because we mostly just talked about Dwayne Wade and Leonard
yeah.
Cohen.
As always, you can find us Locked On Bulls on Twitter. You can follow Sean at Hiking. Follow myself at Cody Westerlin. Locked On Bulls on Facebook page. And most of all, please do subscribe and tell all your friends to subscribe.
That's right. You can go on iTunes. Make sure you leave us a 5-star review. Subscribe to us on iTunes. You can also find us on Stitcher, TuneIn, Audioboom,
Google Play.
Anywhere that you can find podcasts, you can find Locked On Bulls. Make sure you subscribe to The Athletic to read my work covering the Bulls. Check out 670thescore.com to read Cody's work. And we will be back with you soon.
Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.